T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, here we go from Kauffman Stadium. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you until 2 o'clock, and then we hand things off to our guy, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider for the first on-deck show of the 2024 season, and it is great to be back outside Kauffman Stadium. It's going to end up being a beautiful day by the time we get to first pitch. A little chilly, a little windy right now, but by first pitch, it's expected to be closer to 65, 67 degrees with Cole Reagans getting the nod on opening day. We'll have Vern stop by during our show today. We're going to have J.J. Piccolo, the general manager and executive vice president of the Royals, stop by in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have the voice of the Royals, Ryan Lefevre, stop by in the 1 o'clock hour. And who knows who else may stop by. I'm told maybe even some of other members of 610 Sports Radio are just going to come hang out a little bit as well in
or
the 11 o'clock hour. Or maybe even former. Yes, that's also true. So we're going to have some fun. And if you're coming out to Kauffman Stadium, be sure to stop by Gate D. We have a very, very, very limited supply of Cody and Gold t-shirts.
I like how quickly you said it. What do they say,
Cody? Over-deliver, under-promise.
Yeah,
right? That's
yeah.
what I'm going for there.
And in fairness, I hope that you're smaller. So, look, I'm not saying there are zero of a size that would fit up to an XL.
Okay.
But what I am saying is there aren't many of those. And there are plenty if you'd like to wear a medium or a large. I probably have a number of those. But at some point I will run out. And also, look, I'm just going to say it now. Normally, we just try to go through this battle before. Wait till we're in break to ask for the shirt, okay? Look, if you try to come get this shirt for me while we're clearly talking on the air, I'm not going to give it to you.
Wow.
I'm going to hold out. So if you would like one, and we still have some, please come see us. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it's.
But if you try to ask us why we're talking about, you know, the Chiefs signing a rugby star or the Royals opening day roster, going to be a much bigger problem.
Yeah, right? Look, it's going to be an awesome day. And the beautiful thing about opening day is everybody's optimistic. Every city, all 30 teams, everybody's sitting around and trying to talk through why their team is going to have a special season. You know what's great, though, about this year, admittedly unlike a year ago, this year, when you're looking at the Royals heading in, you couple the division that they're in with all the moves that they made, a rotation that's a real big league rotation, and there's real reason to be optimistic about this team, not just the opening day optimism, but truly optimism that this can be a different season, and it's why it probably is the most anticipated opening day since after the 2015 World Series. I mean, that's how ugly it's been, yes, but also how I think effective this offseason has been in terms of going out and saying, all right, the evaluation year from a season ago, that was brutal, brutal for everybody. And I were just looking at the opening day roster that just came out, the 26-man. There's only seven players?
Seven. It's the seven you
seven
think, too,
players
by the way.
From last year's opening day roster that are on this year's. And it's, as you said, it's Perez, Melendez, Pasquantino, Witt,
Bobby,
Isbell, Singer, and Lyles. Those are the only seven players on an opening day roster, and that's a good thing because last year's team only won 56 games.
Yeah, and look, that's the point. That's the point that comes with the optimism. It's not that we just step here, and I get it. Every opening day we sit here, and then Golden, I get all excited again because it's opening day, and we juice up our win total prediction by a game or two because you're excited. Uh-huh. It's not that. I'm genuinely excited about this team. I think that they have real expectations of performance this year for the first time in a long time, and I'm going to expect real performance based on that. And so when you think about where this team is, the reason why the expectation is there is those seven guys you named, almost all are position players. They could hit a little bit towards the end. They improved offensively as the year went on. They couldn't pitch, man. They couldn't pitch. Jordan Lyles, who was not the fifth starter to start the year last year, Zach Greinke was the opening day starter last year. And you know I love Zach.
Yeah.
You know I love Zach. But Zach Greinke was the opening day starter last year. The guy who was the fourth starter to open the year, the third starter to open the year, didn't even make the cut. He's not even the fifth guy. That's Alec Marsh. And so that's why I have real expectation.
Well, and out of these players that are on the team still for opening day and those that aren't, some are in other markets, some aren't even on opening day rosters anywhere in baseball. Some of the names that are not on any opening day roster include, you know, the Franmil Reyes and Jackie Bradley Jr. You mentioned Greinke, Nate Eden. I mean, like Brad Keller, Dylan Coleman, Carlos Hernandez is because of an injury right now. But still, the point being, there's some guys that aren't even on anybody's opening day roster. And it speaks to how much of a restructuring of the roster that they had to make, and they did make this particular offseason. And, yeah, we'll get to our win prediction, and you guys can text in as well, 913-586-7610, and that's always a fun thing for everybody to do this time of the year.
I don't you to claim that they were going to win 89 if I don't have text evidence.
That's right. Yes, tweet us or text us, so that way when we're here in July or August and you say, see, I said all along they were going to have a really special year. Send us a text for that, please. No, but like I think one factor in how you look at what you think this season can be too, Cody, is it's obvious for most teams, but I think specifically for this organization, that is the month of April, because it has been a massive problem for them, even in some years where they weren't as bad as last year with 56 wins. But the month of April and what that does for fans, what that does for even in the clubhouse, I would imagine, and in getting off to a good start. But I think it matters more for them, and it's tough. I mean, this particular season, they play 19 of their first 32, I should say, are against playoff teams from a year ago. That's how they start the season. 19 of 32 are against playoff teams. So you're going to be tested right away, and you're going to find out right away, even though it's such a long season, you know, if you're going to really continue to have that optimism past the month of April, because it doesn't guarantee you that you're going to be in the hunt in September. But boy, oh boy, we know how it goes here. If you all of a sudden are, 10 games under 500 after 1 month, it just kills the vibe and it kills any optimism.
You know what's funny is you can actually, believe it or not, you can actually somewhat eat into the Chiefs in September. Not for the first game, but you know what happened last September with the Chiefs? Something I had only now started to realize because it took a little while. Little early season fatigue where they're like, what is this, a September game? What am I supposed to break a sweat? Am I supposed to live or die by this game on September 14th for the Chiefs? I don't think so. You can't convince me to do it. Almost, right? Where if baseball matters again, you can. You can absolutely make people come back out to the park. And I think that's what I'm hopeful for, man. And I get it. This is the fourth to last opening day we are going to have at Kauffman.
No matter what happens.
Most likely. Because they said, the Royals have said no matter what, they're not playing best. That they're not, they said that they're not playing here out of their lease. Now, maybe that would mean past 2028, but there's a chance this is the fourth to last, pretty good chance, I think. This is the fourth to last opening day at Kauffman. I want it to feel special. Last year, do you remember how long it took them to score a run? A run? I mean, we were 3 days into the damn season looking for a run.
You want to bet that doesn't happen again?
No, they're going to score a run today.
I think they're going to score
over. I bet Vinny did a home run. It was my only bet.
They're going to score over 3.5, hopefully. We'll give out some bets later on in the show, not only today, but also season-long bets that we both kind of like and that you guys like heading into the season. But, yes, I did look. Their run total today, under 3.5.
Yeah, and look, I think that that's a low enough total that I'm probably worth betting, but I just don't think it's going to go like that. As far as win total goes, we might as well just get it out of the way and get a number out there and explain why, okay? I thought long and hard about this. I battle between the homer level of fan that I am. Like, I'm just a fan. I'm a fan of the Royals, always have been.
Sure.
But they don't have the same, I just blindly give them like 12 wins like I do the Chiefs, right? They don't have that
they've
same
proven.
Level
they've,
of
they've
success.
Earned that on the Chiefs side.
Yeah, they have. And the Royals haven't, which is why I'm going to settle in on 76. which I would take. Like, I wouldn't be disappointed in that total. I'm hopeful for more, and I think there's five or six games on either side of that, hypothetically. Low 70s or low 80s on either side, and that's why I settled on that number. I think it's a big swing for the Royals, depending on how the pitching actually performs, which is why when I was trying to decide the number, I settled in on 76. I really think it could be somewhere in that 70 to 80 range, so I just kind of came somewhere near the middle.
No, it makes sense. I mean, the optimism, as you said, on opening day sometimes clouds a little bit of the realistic expectation and what they're capable of. I know a lot of people will sit there and say, okay, they won 56 a year ago. So if you're going to bump them up to 76, which is where you're at, you're talking about a significant increase.
I am.
But we just told you.
That's 20 games, man.
I agree with you. By the way, I'm higher than 76, so okay, I'm going to get to the number in a second. I'm not saying it's crazy. What I was going to get to is what we started the show with, you know, 5 minutes ago or whatever, which was how different the roster is. And so if you're going to have a 20-plus win difference – well, you better not just run it back, and they didn't. You know, we just said it. There's only seven of the same names on the opening day roster today that were on this time a year ago. And in particular, they went out, and to me, they have a big league rotation. I'm also factoring in what I think of the AL Central. I think they might be in the most competitive division.
The worst division.
But the worst. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it could end up being one of
it's like being the NFC South. It was the most competitive, but it was definitely the worst.
Exactly. So I think it could be the most competitive division in baseball. Not like the AL East where you got to win 95 games or whatever, but I think it could be the most competitive because, to me, if you think the Twins are the best team, and I think they are in the division, but are they 15 or 20 wins better? I'm not so sure about that. Are the Guardians better than you? Maybe so. Like, I have the Royals finishing third in the division with 78 wins. So what is that, 78 and 84, I guess? So that's where I have the Royals for this particular season. So I'm only two more wins than you. And trust me, I was tempted to go higher. I think 78 is a very optimistic number.
I guess 80 last year.
But
I was
Was it 80? You won 80 last year?
Yes.
I think 78, if you look at the pitching staff, if Cole Reagans is anywhere near what he was in the back half, if Vinny is healthy, there's a lot of ifs, but that's the beautiful thing about opening day. I think they have a rotation that can compete in this division, and nobody is dominant in this division. And so I'll go 78 and 84 for the Royals, which isn't going to be good enough to make the postseason, but boy, oh boy, it's going to set up plenty more optimism heading into the future, because I think you're going to have some guys that end up stabilizing that you can count on that are not just named Bobby Wood Jr. I think you're going to, if they get to 78, like I'm saying, you're going to see MJ Melendez be the player he was in the second half last year, and you're going to see Vinny Pasquantino play a full, 140 games or whatever it's going to end up being for him.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, and that's such a big difference. Like, I know that Vinny, I know it's baseball, man. Like, team had Shohei Ohtani last year and didn't manage to come anywhere near playoff success, right? So you could have the best player in baseball and still only come up like maybe in the range, right? Like, oh, look, at least we weren't completely out of it. So one player doesn't make a difference, but losing a middle of the order bat on top of your rotation issues in a it's easy. It's easy to be optimistic. I also happen to think in Major League Baseball careers, this tends to be the spot where people start hitting the sweet spot a little bit for hitters. Like Vinny and I think Massey or MJ and Bob. It's like if they're going to start hitting their stride, it's coming, especially for those guys. Now, Bobby hit his last year, and we can talk about more about his expectations and what that means. But like when you go through what they were able to accomplish last year, you can see why what they weren't able to accomplish last year. You can see why looking at this year's roster makes you feel a lot better. It just does. The entire bullpen is different. A huge majority of the starting rotation is different. The lineup's got a middle-of-the-order guy back. Of course I feel better.
And we know the number in Vegas is, 73.5. So we both went over. Drew, what's yours? I think last year, obviously, you weren't here for opening day. And this is your
correct.
First ever opening day. Not just for the Royals, but first ever opening day. So what's your vibe of this team as you're learning more and more about the history in the city and where fans are at?
Ironically, I am right in between you guys. I said 77.
Wow,
wins.
You already have this figured out?
I did. I typed this in there last night. I'm not just saying it. I am in between you guys, 77 and 85. I think for the reasons, a lot of what you guys said, if you look at the way that they finished the year in the back half, I think we see a lot more of that on a consistent basis. That's why I think they jumped 21 wins. And the goal is, I would say, if they can finish I know they've got a tougher start compared to, and just on the face of the schedule, because they're playing some playoff teams, a lot more playoff teams, more than half of the games early on. But if they can get to, you know, 500, 40 games in, or even 30 games in, I think there's a lot more buy-in that people are going to have come May and June with this group, and I think they get to 77.
So 76, 77, 78. That's where we're at on Cody and Gold.
After all that?
Yeah, I was thinking Drew was going to be like 70. I was honestly thinking you were going to say, guys, come on now. I was really thinking you were going to tell us 70 wins.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Which wouldn't be crazy either. Like, I mean, that is still a significant improvement. I just think the roster is that much better. So, Cody, you're at 76. Drew's at 77. I'm at 78 wins. You guys can text us in, text your win totals in to 913-586-7610. Oh, the opening day lineup just came out. I mean,
oh, baby.
You know how this goes.
Let's hear it. Oh, come on.
Leading off, as expected, Mikel Garcia. You got Bobby Witt Jr. batting second. Vinny's batting third. Salvi batting fourth. Melendez will be in the fifth spot. Of course, playing left field. You got Renfro sixth. Frazier in from Massey, who unfortunately is going to start the season on the IL, most likely when they make that official later today. Then Velasquez is your DH and batting ninth at center field. Kyle Isbell, man. It's kind of what you expected.
Isbell.
No surprises at all.
No, that's about right. I don't have any complaint about that. But, yeah, aren't you excited? You didn't sound excited about that opening day lineup. You think it's overrated?
I think the overall, I've told you this goes back to the rotation order and all that. That stuff gets overrated. Yeah, I mean, also the lineup, we there's no surprise.
I think it means something to the player.
Well, sure. You asked me, though. But yeah, sure. The player, it matters. Cole Reagan spoke extremely highly about the opportunity and what it means to him as a young kid wanting to play baseball to get the opening day nod. I think, no doubt, if you're a player. I'm just saying, like, I don't need to read into the starting lineup today, you know, or the batting order today. You know,
as far as what it means?
Yeah, like, no. We knew Garcia was leading off. Bobby should be batting second. It's nice to see Vinny back in the lineup. We haven't seen Vinny in a lineup since, other than spring training, since what, May of last year, right? And then when he got hurt?
Yeah.
So it's been, I'm sure for him, yeah, it's probably emotional to see his name on the lineup card in a big league game on opening day again. But yeah, hopefully, I'll be curious to see, honestly, we'll talk about this later in the show, I know, but with Frazier batting behind Renfro and just ahead of Velasquez, and depending on what Frazier does, what that means for Massey's long-term outlook and everything, you know, they brought in Frazier for a reason, veteran presence, and somebody that if Massey can't stay healthy or if the bat doesn't heat up for Massey and things like that, is he somebody that potentially could end up taking over that job? But it's just unfortunate. It sucks for Massey that he's going to start the season unavailable.
I just don't think that there's going to be – and, yeah, it does, but – I was thinking more about that, and I think if they were going to give the job away for Massey, they would have done it to start, you know, like to start this year. The plan was always Massey. They saw enough from Massey last year, Gold, to keep exploring that as their permanent second base option. I think he helped himself by playing such great defense across the board. Hey, should we boo when the Twins walk in? What's the vibe there? Could I just boo? Is that... I mean, no one else is doing it, but maybe we could start something?
There's a line of Royals fans. And
what if we just booed?
I think if it was a playoff game, you could get the fans on board. I don't think anybody's really –
you think if I booed, it'd just be me?
Yes. I don't think you're booing, you know, Pablo Lopez, who's the Twins starter today. I don't know if that's going to do much for anybody. Now, if it was a playoff series, yes.
Playoff series, we boo.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely.
We don't throw things. We don't, like, you know, nothing derogatory, right? Nothing mm-hmm. You don't need to flip them the bird. Just a simple boo.
Yeah.
Just a simple, we know who you are, and you're not welcome.
Yeah, yet. Not what you tried to do last year. I mean, man, you were out there, and, you know, against, what was the Tigers, I think it was, they were in town, and it was disrespectful, you know, the harassment and everything.
Me?
Yeah, just flipping them off and everything.
Well, you know, screw the Tigers. That's how I feel about it. And I don't feel bad for them at all if I did do that, and that's at least plausible. No, the most I've ever booted the stadium in my entire life was Cano.
Oh, well, that was warranted.
That was a moment,
that was
man.
Incredible.
That was an incredible.
It's, on television. It's I wasn't in person for that one, but on TV, it was incredible.
Was,
yeah,
it was.
The whole Billy Butler thing, yeah, it was.
That was that
so
same
good.
Game I told you I knocked over Ryan Howard's kid. Same day.
Still
what a day for me,
still
you know?
An all-timer.
Knocked, just absolutely railroaded Ryan Howard's kid. I got a photo of me and Ryan Howard, and I look belligerently drunk.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I booed Cano, you know? Jumped right in there. This is, by the way, you had asked me before the show. This is the most exciting you have been for an opening day since?
Yeah,
give me a year. Give me a blank.
I think it has to be since probably 2017. And even then, it was probably trending downward. But after the World Series year in 2016, look, you're coming off a championship. So you're pumped to continue the celebration. They're wearing the gold lettered jerseys or whatever after the 2015 year. So probably truly 2016. Right, I was here for that. Like a lot of people, you know.
Oh yeah, to watch the flag go up.
You wanted to see that. That was a special. So actually, that's the answer then. Because of the ceremony after the World Series, it was probably 2016. But if you separate like just that, then I guess 2017. Think about that. We're in 2024 now, so it has been a very long time. But that's what's exciting about opening day this year.
No, I think that's. I was trying to. I still think 2017 might have held some juice for me. But I still think I'm more excited for this one. Because by 2017, the problem was the end was near. And we knew the end was near. So I was excited, but for a different reason. Like in 2017, it's like, well, this is the last opening day that any of these guys, any of the ones who are still left, right? This is the last opening day that any of these guys are still going to be on the roster. Because by the time halfway through the year hits or a year from now hits, for everybody who maybe hadn't left, they're going to be gone soon enough. So it was a somber excitement, if that makes sense. Like, I'm excited to see these guys one more time.
Yeah,
but I also know that this is probably one more time. That's how I felt in 2017. 16, I still thought they might win the World Series again, you know?
I think
there was unbridled optimism then. But for a different reason, 17, but certainly not 18, 19, 21, 22, like, no. And I went to opening day the COVID year. It was me and, like, 14 media members and Slugger. And I was kind of excited for that one because I was like, freakazoid game. There's literally nobody in the stadium. But that one was depressing as hell.
Yeah, for way to, that was just weird for obvious reasons with that. I think not only is it the rotation and the moves they made this offseason, it's also an opening day right after the team gave out a massive extension and the largest extension in club history.
Yeah.
You know, with Bobby Wood Jr., it's the first game since he's gotten his extension. It's the first game since... Yes, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo were signed. You know, there's the offseason in terms of free agent acquisitions, but it's also coupled with knowing that now there's not any doubt and worry. Like the star player, one of the best players in baseball, period, Bobby Wood Jr.,
that helps with
is locked in. And so I think that adds to that, and I think it's pretty obvious he's going to get, once again, like last year, but even more so today, he'll end up with the loudest ovation of any Royals player. I know Vinny's will be loud, too, because it'll be the first time he steps in the batter's box at the K since the injury. But I think, clearly, Bobby Wood Jr., I'm excited for that moment today. If we're talking about individual moments.
Oh, his
individual
cheer
moments.
When he steps to the
plate? Yeah, yeah.
Second hitter,
right
out
of the
first.
Contract. Yeah.
I also, it's easy to forget because there's been a whole Chiefs Super Bowl run in that amount of time, so you start forgetting how long it's been since you've been in the K. Baseball's so much faster. Like, I love the speed of the game.
Oh,
I like
pitch clock stuff is one of the best things baseball's ever done. I know we criticize baseball and we criticize Manfred, but boy, oh boy, that last year.
It straight up made the sport better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's just no argument. It made the sport better, more enjoyable. This is what's funny about, like, we talked about NFL rule changes and how college was looking to, like, maybe, like, do we need to have more replays? Every sport, when they saw the increased viewership and attendance in their sport, once the game got shorter, should have taken that to heart and been like, okay, real quick, NFL, how do we make our sport shorter? Because I understand we get a lot of eyeballs now, the most in the country. We could have more. We could have even more if we found a way to truncate part of this system down into a more fine number. And baseball was as simple as baseball used to be played the way it's played now. It wasn't that complicated. We just let people slowly Nomar Garcia Parra it to death to the point that you weren't stepping into the plate until you had adjusted your gloves 67 times, tapped the plate 94 times, and then stepped into the dish.
Yeah, no, I mean, it got to be ridiculous. And so that was the... We experienced it last year, of course, for the first time, but that was fantastic, and that continues to be something that's going to be nice. You have a better idea when this game first pitched 3:10 right here on 6:10. You got a good idea when you're getting out of the ballpark these days versus before. I mean, it could have been 7:30. You never would have known because of what wasn't prohibited at the time. 913-586-7610. Someone says, you guys are 20 minutes into a show outside the studio. Is this a miracle? Well, yesterday was some bad luck. That's all. Yesterday was some bad luck. We're smooth sailing, I think, today. It's opening day. It's a new day.
Did you really want to have said that only a half hour into the show?
I'm reading the text, Cody.
That we are smooth sailing? No, you said we're smooth sailing.
Oh, we're smooth, yeah.
We got kicked off the air yesterday. You want to say it that early?
Yes, because here's why I can say it. Is you and I both know there's a different sound when things are going well. And we got the smooth signal. We got the smooth sound. Drew sounds much clearer today.
You sound like you're a jazz DJ. Smooth sounds coming your way for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, we told Drew, though, if something were to happen, to just go through all 162 and give his prediction for all. To get to his 77 win mark, I want to know exactly the 77 that he thinks the Royals are winning. So if something were to happen, he's prepared. He's done his homework.
Drew, what's your favorite promotion this year? Have you gone through the promotional schedule?
Oh,
that's a big part of the producer's job, to know every promotion for the entire year, you know? Maybe it's today. Maybe it's the Bobby Wood Jr. bobblehead. Tough to beat.
That one I actually am excited about. But there is a jacket that they're giving away. I can't remember the day.
Was it the one I sent out? That 90s retro-y looking
one?
Yeah. That's a good looking jacket.
The retro
like
jacket. Because you and I and Gold were looking through, I don't remember how long ago, a couple weeks ago, through the promotional schedule, and that one popped up. I was like, man, that's a nice jacket. That one will be good.
Well, I do like that one. I wonder what the 610 day at the K giveaway will be this year. What was it last year? Was that the black jersey year, or was that 2 years ago?
No, regular navy blue T-shirts that had,
right.
They had Slugger on it. They had a couple other players, I think, on it, something like that.
Yep, you're right. You're right, Drew. Okay, I'm just asking. I'm looking forward to all the Charlie Hustle T-shirts.
Yeah,
I think
those
are cool.
Plenty of those throughout the season. But, yes, today, first 30,000 through the gates get that Bobby Wood Jr. bobblehead.
And the first, 11 to 12 people at Gate D, who are the appropriate size, get a Cody Gold T-shirt.
That's right. That's the favorite promotion.
That's the favorite promotion.
Rare, limited edition.
Yeah, way harder to get. 30,000 people are going to get a bobblehead.
Those are 2020 shirts. So those are pretty soon going to be vintage type of T-shirts. We're going to have a new run on T-shirts, I think, in the next year.
And Charlie Hustle helps out.
Might have to do something with that. All right, we are live though outside Kauffman Stadium, outside Gate D, opening day. We'll get right back to baseball in just a second, but I do want to talk a little bit about the big signing yesterday across the parking lot for the Chiefs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here outside Kauffman Stadium, specifically Gate D, getting set for opening day. 3:10 first pitch. Just saw our guy Josh Vernier make his way inside the K.
Sure did.
He'll be joining us at 12:30 today, and then, of course, his on-deck show at 2 o'clock. And you'll start hearing Vern every single day, basically. For the next,
you got it.
Next 5 months or whatever it comes out to be. Hopefully a little bit longer if things really get special. So looking forward to getting Vern's insight in the noon hour. Again, in the 11 o'clock hour today, we're expected to have the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Piccolo, join us. I did want to briefly pivot across the parking lot, though, to Arrowhead. Yeah, we are
right
looking
now.
Right at it.
Hey,
yeah.
Call it by its proper name. That's GEHA Field.
That's where so we're actually looking where the activation zone would be. Under your favorite
part. Are we standing
part.
On it?
No, we're not standing on it. But that's where if things pass.
You know, that's my least favorite.
I know, that's why I brought it up. If it passes the vote I'm talking about in Jackson County, of course, on Tuesday, right there, this area where it could be where we're standing in a way, in the middle of the parking lot over there would be where your turf concert stage activation zone.
Maybe it'll be cooler than the image. I don't know. Look, I'll say, and I know we're going to talk about the stadium stuff because there was more out yesterday as they were signing the lease agreements. It will be weird when they're not in the same parking
lot. Of course.
Anymore. Like, we're sitting here at Kauffman, and I'm looking right at Arrowhead. It'll be weird when that is no longer the case. It's going to confuse me a little bit. But since we're mentioning the Chiefs, and we can get to that in a minute.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about someone they signed yesterday.
A superstar. And they're in one sport.
In rugby. Yeah, over in England. And the name, admittedly, we listened to four different broadcasts.
Yeah, we did.
Two from Sky News, and they pronounced his name differently each time. Louis Rhys Zammit. One report said Louis. Mm-hmm. One said Louis. We're going with Louis. Louis Rhys Zammit for now. He signed with the Chiefs. It'll be official, I guess, tomorrow. But according to Jordan Schultz, it's going to happen. He worked out for a couple other teams. Yes, he's a rugby star. And Jordan Schultz reporting that he'll play running back or wide receiver. Now, this is a zero-risk type of signing. And I'll be honest, it's going to be fun for us when we're up at training camp. And I care about that. So that's what we also get out of this. We get a fun story of a rugby player trying to make it in the NFL. And with the new kickoffs, you know what? Maybe he's got a role there some way. You know, some lower body strength. Maybe he's the guy we can have do some QB sneaks, some running back dives on fourth and one.
Have you seen a rugby scrum?
That's what I'm saying.
Of course he could do a QB
scrum
sneak.
This would be perfect. So I'm all about the idea, whether it was Tobe, Andy Reid. And he doesn't count against your roster because he's an international guy. Worst comes to worst, he's on the practice squad. There's no harm in this move at all.
And the practice squad, he doesn't count against your roster.
Yeah.
He's a freebie because he's through the international program for a year. He's a free player to your 90-man roster, which would be big. As someone who played rugby, I think I can uniquely speak on this in Kansas City. Name one other Kansas City radio personality who has physically played in a rugby game.
Uh-huh.
That's why I can talk.
Okay.
And we played the same position.
Oh, gosh.
Not equally as well.
Uh-huh.
Turns out, I just hit all the time in that position because that's the guy who, like, touches the ball, like, first, second, or third. So, kind of opening yourself up to get your ass kicked a little bit between that and scrum half, which is the other position I played. Look, I love this signing, not just because it gives a fun training camp story, because I do. I think it's actually kind of disrespectful what our boss said yesterday, which is, this is rugby Weston Dressler. This is English Weston Dressler. This has a far better chance of success. He's not just a good rugby player. He's one of the best rugby players in the world. And that skill set, parts of those skill sets, do transfer. I don't think he's going to be a superstar.
You're not wrong. I'm laughing because the best case scenario is what?
He makes the team.
Okay.
He's a 400 all-purpose player, and he returns kicks.
I'm with you. I was making sure.
What do you think? I'm getting ready to say he's going to go for 1,000 yards this year?
We all saw the Justin Ross stuff last training camp.
Worried I'm falling into that trap.
Yes,
this is way more exciting than Justin Ross ever was.
100%. I would rather have a storyline at camp of a rugby star trying to make it in the NFL than a guy that had one really amazing season in college and has been hurt. You know, this is way more entertaining to me. So I'm all about it. Good. And if you're him, this also does prove, if we're being real, just about the path the Chiefs are going to continue to have with the success that they are on, which is anytime there's a fringe guy that's, you know, maybe an intriguing prospect, or whether it's international or not, if the Chiefs are interested in you, if you're Louis Rhys Zammit, of course you're picking the Chiefs over the Broncos or whoever the
way
else
more fun.
Was into his services. You know, like, of course.
By the way, according to this, like, half the damn league. That's another reason why you should be more excited than just Justin Ross. Is it a guarantee he makes the roster? No. But I'll say this, Gold. If he makes the roster, he's got a better chance of being successful in the offense than Justin Ross ever did. Because Andy loves players who have the skill set of this player. Oh, he can catch a little. Oh, he can run a little. Oh, he can do weirdo kick nonsense. He loves.
I was going to say, what player has Andy ever had that's like this?
No. Well, he just likes a gadget guy.
Yeah.
He likes having a gadget guy. So if he makes the roster, part of me thinks he's made the roster as the gadget guy, you know? And look, I'll be honest. Their last couple of gadget guys, like Kadarius Toney, who we thought might have a chance to be successful in this offense, he looks like, if Kadarius Toney went through the Captain America machine, dude, he's triple his damn size. And he's fast and all those other. And I get it. Someone said in a rugby match he ran like 24 and a half miles per hour, I think, last year. Not in pads. So not the same. But that would be one of the fastest times put on an NFL football field last year. So with pads, does he run 21, 22? He's fast enough. He's skilled enough. I'm interested enough to see
yeah,
the absolute dart throw. I would call a massive win 400 all-purpose yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a hell of a story if he makes the team is where I'm at. I mean, because you're right. If he makes the team, it clearly means Andy Reid has some sort of plan for him. Maybe Dave Tobe is intrigued by it. And with the new kickoff rules, you're talking about having players not be able to move until the ball is actually kicked or until the receiver catches the football.
Yeah.
Having someone that's capable of helping you in that circumstance due to his experience in a scrum and with his – he did one thing. I don't know any about rugby. The one thing that I did see watching video, he seems fast as hell. So
he does look fast.
He got some speed on the roster, adds some more speed to the roster, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to him up at training camp. That's what I want. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think so. I hope that
I'm guessing he'll be available.
You
maybe.
Think so?
You never know.
I mean, what's the –
he might become too big of a star already. And then we don't get him on the show.
He's already too big of a star?
No, I'm joking.
Where does he rank on the most handsome of the...
Oh, someone tweeted at me. He's eligible bachelor, maybe, all of a sudden, just like that in Kansas City.
Well, he's super muscular and handsome. He's got a foreign accent.
Yeah.
I mean, that definitely serves him.
Yeah, that was the first thing somebody tweeted at me.
I'm serious.
The first mention in my thing is most eligible bachelor now.
Also, his nickname is Reese Lightning, which is
that's phenomenal. Oh, if he turns out to be anything, the fact that it's Reese Zammit is quickly, gets you into a lot of different puns you can come up with. It's phenomenal. So I hope he makes the team already.
If he makes the team, I'm going to already lock me in.
Okay.
If Reese Zammit makes the team, I will cover Grease Lightning with his name.
Okay, I thought you were going to...
His nickname is Reese Lightning. I'll will you cover buy, the song.
Will you get a custom
Grease
jersey?
Grease Lightning.
Will you get a custom jersey of his as well while you're singing it and do a music video?
Yes, I'll get a custom jersey made from our friends at Rally House. By the way, if you need your Royals gear before heading to opening day, head over there, and I will do a cover of the song Grease Lightning. Dusty pointed out to me last night that his nickname was Reese Lightning. It's just a complete layup, man. That's the easiest song cover ever, but he's got to make the roster. I don't just give out freebies to non-roster
and
players.
That's still a big if, but why not? It's a dart throw. You got nothing to lose if you're the Chiefs. And if you're him, of course you pick the Chiefs. Pick the most innovative head coach over the last 20-plus years that happens to be going for a three-peat. Yeah, my first opportunity and maybe your only opportunity to make it in the NFL if you're him, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Chiefs. That seems like a great spot. And that proves what the Chiefs are doing. That if you're any, I think it's why they also got Hollywood Brown on the 1 year deal. He wasn't signing that same deal somewhere else. This is the advantage the Chiefs have right now with Mahomes, with Andy Reid, and going for a three-peat and being in the middle of a dynasty. You're going to be able to sign these players that are more dart throw-ish, but also a lot of teams are kind of interested and intrigued by. That player's going to likely choose you over everybody else.
Which is great news, I guess, for all of us involved. Gold. All of us involved.
Someone said the Chiefs now have like five kickers on the team. They got Butker. They got Ariza who can also kick.
Rugby players can all kick.
They've got Lewis Reese Zammit, and they have Justin Reed. So they're set. They got plenty of backup kickers if something were to happen in game. I like that spot. Plenty of backup kickers.
How many backup kickers do you need?
They got
plenty.
More than you could ever ask for.
Okay.
They're set.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. Thank you. That if the Chiefs get to their fifth backup kicker,
his dad played in NFL Europe.
He did, yeah.
You know,
did he play for the Rain Fire?
I don't know which team.
That's my squad.
I don't know which team. I was listening to an interview that he was doing, and he mentioned his dad played in NFL Europe. I don't remember what team.
This is also why the NFL is trying to expand overseas. By the way, is they want to attract because the best athletes overseas play soccer. We know that gold, right? I mean, you've seen how high Ronaldo can jump. The best athletes overseas play soccer. And they're like, what if those guys played football instead? What if you big, strong, fast, tall guys all – because he's 6'3". Like, the way you watch him run, you would kind of – because he's like – he's built like a bulldog or whatever. You kind of think that maybe he's a little bit shorter, Gold. He's 6'3", over 200 pounds. So, I mean, he's not like a small guy. It's not the gadget guy that's 5'7". He's not Dexter McCluster. He's like quadruple Dexter McCluster's size, which does make a difference.
So that's the signing the Chiefs made, and that'll be a fun one to watch over the next couple months, especially once we get up to training camp in St. Joe. Another signing in the division, though, happened yesterday, and it was a name that Drew had brought up a lot, Josh Reynolds. And now that we know the contract details, I'm actually a little surprised that if we ever find out that, were the Chiefs really interested in Josh Reynolds, because the Broncos signed the former Lions wide receiver, a two-year deal worth a maximum of $14 million.
Okay.
And he had a 5-touchdown season last year, and he's now going to be catching passes from an unknown quarterback in Denver, which is interesting for him to sign a two-year deal there. I think the fact that he doesn't really even know who his quarterback
makes
is.
Me think that was the best money he got offered.
That's what. Yeah. So were the Chiefs? You know, were the Chiefs ever pursuing him? I don't know.
Or maybe they tell him we're getting ready to draft JJ McCarthy, man. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, look, 2 years, 14. I would have been interested in that at that price. I would have been very interested. I mean, Hollywood Brown signed 1 year for $7 million, 1 year for $11 million with incentives. Josh Reynolds is 2 for $14 million with incentives. So it might be 2 years, $9 million. You know, it might be 2 years, $10 million.
Sure. I think that's what actually gives me confidence that even though, like, you're right, had you just laid that deal out in front of me, Gold, because you and I have both stated that we want an extra wide receiver, an extra veteran wide receiver, so they've got even more flexibility in the draft. And just to ensure that if there is an injury for Hollywood Brown, which has been the case a lot lately, they have protection. But the fact that Josh Reynolds was that cheap makes me think that the wide receiver market has finally cratered. It was out of control for a little while, and the Chiefs got the best deal on the market. And what I think has finally happened is, okay, now we're back to the real deals. The normal deals, the reasonable ones, the ones the Royals can and will afford. So maybe it's not Josh Reynolds, but now I think that there are available options at that price point that don't concern me. It didn't have to be Josh Reynolds for me. I know that that was Drew's guy. But there's a lot of that level veteran receiver that I might be more interested in 1 for 5 anyway.
Yeah, what, so like a Michael Gallup
there,
type.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Gallup, I'm assuming he's exactly getting a small 1 year, $4.5 million plus incentives get you to $7 million type of deal. So there's definitely some, if you're just looking to add another veteran to fill out the roster, plus you draft a guy, I think you're good. Because let's go through it. I mean, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, there's 1, 2. Whoever they draft, as long as it's one of the first two rounds, is probably your 3 next year.
Yep.
Your 4 right now
is Justin Watson.
So
you'd love to shove him further down.
And Sky Moore's like your 5th, you know, and we haven't even mentioned Tony, who, yes, is still on the roster. I don't know what the plan is there. To me, Sky Moore and Tony, I think they'll both.
Once they signed Reese Zemet, he was gone.
My guess is because there's no harm in holding on to Sky Moore. He's on a rookie deal. My guess is you have Tony and Sky still up at camp with you, and then you make a decision from there. You know, somebody else emerges. Maybe you're able to trade them for nothing, essentially. Maybe someone gets cut. To me, there's no harm in bringing Tony and Sky Moore to camp, though. I have no. I know some people just want them gone. There's no harm with bringing
both to
camp.
Starting to get a little crowded, but yeah, you get 90 man to go to camp. So.
And Sky Moore's not making any money, really. So there's no problem with that.
And Tony costs you just as much to get rid of as he keeps to hold on.
Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's $2 million to cut or keep. You don't save a dime, but, you know, if he's not the right fit for your team, I don't feel that way either. Have we officially... I think I had seen this pointed out, and I don't remember who now, and I guess I probably am there. What's funny is I'd still be open to taking a wide receiver in the first round because I don't think you always have to take your number one need in the first round. You want high need, high fit, high talent in the first round for me. But we're officially at the point now, right, that the weakest unit on the roster is not wide receiver anymore. Like, as it sits right now, the weakest unit on the roster is not wide receiver. It's offensive tackle.
Well, yeah,
because
right now,
Donovan Smith, or not Donovan Smith,
Wanye
Morris and Jawan Taylor is worse than the 1-2 punch of Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown.
So I think at the top layer, yes, I think the depth, though, tackle doesn't have any depth right now either, but the depth at wide receiver is still probably the biggest question now. Because and this goes for a lot of teams, but all of a sudden you lose either Rice or Hollywood Brown and you're in big, big trouble. Now I could go through probably half the league and make the same argument. But that's why I think they still need to draft one, and why I would like them to bring in another veteran.
Same.
Because if Rice had to miss 3 weeks, I'd be, you know, you start to get
Hollywood
really fit.
More likely. But yes, either whoever, way, you don't want it.
Yeah, whoever.
Or if your fear that Kelsey's aging slowly creeps up, then you need even more protection at wide receiver, which factors into your decision. But the worst unit is the offensive tackle. I mean, that's the weakest unit on the team. Corner, what's funny enough is they traded away L'Jarius Sneed. It might be what? The 5th? Like, what? I mean, you know, running back is weaker than corner right now. Wide receiver is probably still weaker. Tackle's still weaker. I'd argue defensive line. Like, corner might be, like, one of the strongest, deepest units on the team. Hell, it might still be one of the deepest in the entire AFC. That's why they could get rid of Snead. The more and more I do that exercise, I look at unit by unit where I still think they need help. Corner is below.
Well, it helps when McDuffie might be consensus by the end of the year the best corner in football.
Yeah, you and I already think he is. But
so if he ends up being that by the end of the year, and then you bring in Jalen Watson, who we found out after the season, he was dealing with the torn labrum or whatever it was, you know, for much of the year. But his rookie season, he kind of came out of nowhere and was a huge.
He'd overtaken Joshua Williams for a good chunk of that season.
Yeah, so I think you have to feel good still 1-2-3 with the cornerback room, and then I don't know, do they draft someone in the mid to late round again? Do they have another veteran like Mike Edwards type? You know, not him, he already signed with Buffalo, but someone similar to that later on in the offseason? I could see something like that playing out.
I also think they might play Cook and Shamari Connor more and draft another rookie safety in like the fourth.
You know? For safety, sure. Yeah,
you know, corner, but like even that, like Connor might be able to play a little split. He lined up in the slot a couple of times last year. Maybe they're thinking more hybrid role anyway. More teams have gone away. They've gone more safety corner split than true corner in some spot because of the tackling and because of the everything is single high with hybrid players. Everyone gives up 15 yards on routes because they don't want you to beat you over the top. Like, the game's just changed a little bit. So until somebody starts attacking the way the teams have built these defensive rosters, I just don't think it's going to look the same.
Someone said, don't forget, guys, Nico Remigio or whatever, and Justin Remigio. Am I saying that right? I think
it's Remigio. No, it was Remigio.
Yeah, you're right.
And Justin Ross. Those are the two people keep texting in. Yep, they'll be at camp as well.
Yeah.
Who has a better chance of being on the roster, Justin Ross or Kadarius Toney next year?
Kadarius Toney, just because of the money. Just because of the money.
No,
I don't need either. But if you're forcing me, I think we have to consider the financial aspect of it. But I truly don't know how you can go into next year and have Kadarius Toney still on the team. I don't. But I'll go with the guy that's making $2 million that would cost you $2 million to cut versus the other guy that cost you basically pennies if he's not on the team.
Yeah, my guess is
I think both aren't going to be on the team.
I think neither. Honestly, neither. If I said who had a better chance – Yeah, it's probably Toney. I mean, I hope we're not having that conversation. And two-time Super Bowl defending champ, I really don't want to be thinking about Toney anymore. I'll be honest. I'd rather be thinking about Louis or Lewis or whichever version of his name it is.
Reese Zammit.
You think it's because he's going to America? Let's go Lewis.
Well, multiple news outlets overseas.
But one called him Louis.
Well, the same outlet called him two different names. That's the problem.
Okay, if he has 1,000 yards, we buy a bottle of Louis the 14th for Club 6.
If he has 1,000 yards next season, yes.
We buy a bottle of Louis
the
14th
we'll
chip
in.
For the show.
Yes. Yes. You thought Champagne Lyles was a bet. This one, no stress.
You said yes so fast.
Yes.
What's a bottle of Louis the 14th
for? He's not getting 1,000 yards from scrimmage.
Damn, dude, if he was at like 600 in week 8, we would be sweating.
It's the same thing with the Justin Watson. I made a bet with you for Justin Watson last year.
Yeah.
Would he lead the team in receiving? He did for like 5 weeks.
He did for a little bit.
And we were safe.
A bottle of Louis the...
Yeah, what's the price?
Okay.
Four grand!
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm seeing higher than that.
Okay. How about $1,000 or more bottle of something? I don't know if it'll be...
Maybe we can just buy a bottle. The bottle, empty.
That's true. All you said is buy a bottle. That's actually what I should have done.
And then just fill it up with cognac.
Like you guys said, just bring a bottle of it. You didn't say it had to have that in it. Just a bottle of it.
Just $4,000 price tag right now I can get on winesearcher.com. So it's $1,000, $1,500 each. So
someone says, what about if you include kickoffs? You know, maybe he gets there.
No, we were never including kickoffs.
It's got to be.
That was all purpose. I was giving him rushing receiving.
Yeah. Now, if we put it, even with kickoffs, we're probably safe. But that gets a little dicey. All of a sudden, he takes two back to the house.
This audio is going to be just painful to
just
us.
Just becomes a superstar kick returner in the league out of nowhere.
No, kick someone return.
Says,
that's way too easy to get to
$1,000. Someone says $2,300 for a bottle at Bubbles?
Oh, okay. Bubbles got us for 23? Dude, we've practically knocked this price down. Are you kidding? That's $700 a piece.
Mm-hmm. If he makes the team, I think he gets into the end zone at least once.
On some weirdo trick play?
Yes.
God, could
or
you
if they actually put him in a kick return, he finds a way to take
one. I was thinking maybe $500.
Yeah, that's
not.
Wild.
I was not thinking $2,500. That's a slightly different price point. Like, I got to be honest. I don't think Pure is going to donate that one.
No. No, they would probably help us pour it again, but they're not providing the bottle. Yeah, I don't think that was very nice of them to provide the bottle of Dom last go around. And I hope the Royals, we're here on opening day, obviously, and people are lined up at the gates already. The gates don't open until noon, so about an hour from now, and there are people already lined up getting set. First 30,000 get the Bobby Wood Jr. bobblehead. But I was saying is hopefully the pitching staff is so much better that there is no pitcher that we're sitting here in June or July and saying, all right, we're going to start doing a bet based off of how many more wins he's going to get. Hopefully that's not the problem.
Ideally not,
yeah, because Jordan Lyles, I think, was like 1-13 to start or something
If Zammit makes the roster, And people were, like, gushing about him in training camp, and all of a sudden it's like, no, they're really going to use him as running back, too. He is the backup to Isaiah Pacheco. Then we're going to need to place a bet to cover this cost. Like, we're just going to have to place.
Oh, a hedge?
Whatever the, like, alt line for total yards for Zammit is. I feel like.
That'll even be available, Cody.
Offshore?
Maybe.
Offshore, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe we could just find a shady person who would take our bets.
I mean, if we're being real, the percentage, and we can have months to talk about this, but, like, right now, the percentage chance of Zammit making the active roster is probably still like 15%.
Slim to none.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I might be generous.
That might be generous.
Yeah,
it might be more like 3-5%.
Yeah, and I would probably be very generous by saying 15%.
Yeah, I would think so.
I haven't seen him play yet. You know, we'll see.
I've seen him play rugby.
That's it.
He runs right. Kind of like he runs a little bit like Pacheco, where it looks like his legs are moving faster than his body. He looks fast, but he's got those legs churning.
The 40-yard time, would you say? He is absolutely fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was impressive.
All right, coming up next, we get right back into the Royals and the Chiefs a little bit. A press conference yesterday with some of the lease agreements and some of our favorite season-long Royals bets as we continue broadcasting live outside Gate D at Kauffman Stadium.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.TV. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.